Chapter 31, Shell-Shocked. "We are doomed! Done for! Goners!" The sugar glider thrashed around on the floor of the chamber, wailing at the top of his lungs. "Bismarck, stand up," said the fox. "There's not enough space for this right now." The room was crowded indeed. After Boris's outburst, the crocs sealed the exits and seized all the animals. Every nocturnal, from the kiwis to the coyotes, had been marshaled into one of the cave's smallest chambers. There was little room to stand, and the heat was becoming unbearable. "How long will he keep us here?" asked Cora. She put up a comforting paw on her brother's quivering shoulder. Dawn shook her head. There was no way to know. "I don't understand," said Tobin. "Why was Boris calling himself a coacher?" "I am tired of not understanding what he means half the time," said Bismarck. The sugar glider was still lying on the ground. "He's gone loco, I tell you. The croc has gone loco." "What was that?" roared a voice. The boulder blocking the entrance rolled aside. Boom, boom. In stomped Boris, his eyes gleaming with fury. Behind him were the five other crocs. Shoulder to shoulder, they stood blocking the passageway. Dawn stepped forward. "Don't you move," yelled the croc. The fox paused. Something was different about Boris. She took another step forward. "Stop that!" Boris screamed. "Don't you come any closer! I can't let you leave! Don't you understand?" "We had a deal," said Dawn. "Yes, a deal," he repeated. The crocodile paused and turned his head. He opened his claws and stared down at the red tube as if it held all the answers. He tossed it up in the air. This was it. A brief moment of opportunity, a chance to regain control. Instinctively, the fox pounced. "Grrr," Dawn snarled. She leapt across Boris's chest, and then, with a swipe of her paw, she snatched the red tube in midair. "Hey," Boris cried, "give that back." Dawn raced toward the rear of the room and mounted a stone. "Give our freedom back, and I will." The fox looked at the object. "Tell me, Boris, what is this?"
"Stop! Be careful! Don't break it!" Boris was whimpering now. It's all they left me!" Dawn turned the tube over in her paws, inspecting it closely. It had a certain unnatural quality, as if it did not belong in their world. "Please!" begged the crocodile. Boris fell to his knees. "It's from the coachers!" Dawn climbed down from her stone and approached the crocodile. "Boris, these coachers... what did they do?" she asked. Boris's breathing was heavy, and his shoulders were shaking. Tears dripped onto the hard white marble. "It was last winter," he said. "I woke up from a nap, and everyone was gone. Everyone. My mother, my father, my brothers, my sisters. The coachers took them because they saw them playing the game out on the swamp ice." Dawn nodded. She looked again at the tube. "We've practiced all year," Boris said. "But they never came back. They never came for more players." The crocodile choked back a sob. The room buzzed with whispers. The animals were conflicted. Boris had taken them prisoner after all. But now, as he cried, it was difficult not to feel a little sorry for him. Boris looked at the hundreds of captives. "That's why I took you all," he said. "I had to find my own players and form my own team. I had to become a coacher." Dawn stood before Boris. Despite the sympathy welling up inside her, she knew she had to remain firm. "We cannot help you, Boris." "But you can," he insisted. "I just need a good team. When I've got that, those coachers will come to take them, and I can trade my squad and get my family back. Don't you see how simple it is?" Dawn bowed her head. "It was not coachers who took your family, Boris." Suddenly, everything made sense to the fox. She remembered a word she had heard spoken in whispers when she was just a pup, a word that went hand in hand with another, death. The red cylinder in her paw had taken on a different meaning. "What are you talking about?" asked Boris. "The coachers left that behind. The other crocodile families kept saying that it was a sure sign of coachers, that the coachers must have come and taken my family." He paused. That's how I figured it out. That's how I know it's all about the game. The coaches took them because they were such good players.
Boris, said Dawn. She rolled the red and gold tube to his feet. Your family was taken by poachers, not coachers. I'm not sure why you confuse those two words. You must have misheard, but I know this. Your family is gone.
Boris opened his mouth to protest, but Dawn spoke first.
I'm sorry, she said. I'm sorry for what you have been through. But now you've taken us from our families, our homes, our lives. How are you any better than those poachers who have harmed you?
Boris stared at the red cylinder on the floor. He looked up and saw the faces of all those he had wronged, the kiwis and the coyotes, the wombats and the jerboas. Harry, it had all been for nothing. But, his entire body trembled in protest, but he could no longer deny what was true. The crocodile snatched up his false treasure, his flawed symbol of family and hope. Then slowly, he closed his claws. He locked his teeth together and clenched his fist. The shell dropped to the ground with a sound that seemed too small, too light, for what had happened.